Women are biblical gatekeepers. In at least three significant moments in the Bible, women stand at the threshold of revelation and understanding, revelation and understanding that has been deemed essential to our faith journey. But before I get to that, I want to take a moment to talk about our order of readings that we're doing this Lenten season. If you look at the cover of your bulletins, you'll see that there are six pictures, and those are pictures representing the stories that we're doing this season. We started with the resurrection of Lazarus, John's gorgeously crafted Easter foreshadow. Then last week, we had Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Today, we have this mix of Jesus' pre-trial and Peter's denial. That will be followed by 2 weeks where we observe Jesus interacting with a representative of the Roman Empire in his community, Pontius Pilate. Then we're going to double back in time to the Palm Sunday protest that triggered the arrest and the conflict before we head into Holy Week proper. We're spending a lot more time this year than we usually do in the crisis that immediately precedes the mystery that's at the heart of our faith. We are lingering in these raw conversations with devastating outcomes because we want to learn from them. We want to learn from them because we know that our own lives are not without trial and tribulation. The book of Proverbs in the Hebrew Bible wants to help us in our learning. My rabbi taught me that Proverbs is a daily righteousness guide framed as a conversation between a father and a son. But the foundation of this very masculine learning is a woman at a gate. She says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the streets, raises her voice in the squares. At the head of the busy streets, she calls. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she speaks out." And what does Lady Wisdom have to say? "She chastises anyone who turns away when they hear her voice. Anyone who won't take her hand when she offers it out. Anyone who will not heed her advice." She warns them that when distress, crisis, trauma comes into your life, because it always will, "I'm not going to be there for you." "They shall eat the fruit of their ways," she says, "but he who listens to me will dwell in safety." Enter through Lady Wisdom's gate today, and you will be protected tomorrow. Peter today seems desperate for some protection. When we first meet Peter, he's still named Simon. That was his birth name, Simon. And Simon is a brother of Andrew, and Andrew is a disciple of John the Baptist. And Andrew goes to his brother Simon and says, "John the Baptist, he's pointed us to the one who is the Messiah, to the Anointed One." And so Simon and Andrew go together to Jesus. And Jesus says, "You are Simon, but now you will be called Peter." And Peter stays with Jesus then. Simon Peter stays with Jesus. He gets to be part of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Later, when some followers seem ready to give up on Jesus and abandon him, it's Peter who says, "Oh, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to see and to believe that you are the Holy One of God." So it's no surprise when Jesus offers to wash his feet that Jesus says, "No, that's not the work of the Holy One of God, not to clean my feet. Instead, Jesus, let me lay down my life for you." And it almost looks like he's going to do it, because when Jesus gets arrested, Peter pulls out his knife and he maims a member of the arresting party. Cuts off his ear. So Peter has been with Jesus from the very beginning. He accepted the name that Jesus gave him, He beheld wondrous acts of power and love. Peter confesses Jesus as the Holy One, as a holiness that is worth dying for. But the moment after Jesus is arrested, Peter denies knowing Jesus. The moment after he is arrested, after his outburst, Peter begins to deny knowing Jesus, even to the family of the man he had maimed in defense of Jesus. But his first denial is to another woman at a gate. So Jesus is taken to some kind of compound for his interrogation. At that compound, there's a wall, and in the wall, there is a gate, and at the gate, there is a guard, and that guard is a woman. The guard says to Peter, "You are not also a disciple of him, are you?" So, as is always a challenge in the Bible, we don't really know her intonation. We're not given a description of her tone of voice. So she could have said it in disgust. "You are not also a disciple of him, are you?" Or maybe curiosity. "You're not also a disciple of him. Oh, are you?" I want to hear it as confirmation and encouragement. "You're not also a disciple of him, are you?" Right? "You are, right?" "I am not," Peter says. In spite of everything that Peter has seen and said, everything he has felt and everything he has done, when confronted by this woman at a gate asking him this question, "Do you know Jesus?" Peter denies him. So I tried to research, is this a historical trend, a fact? Was this a specific role for women at high priest compounds, that they would be guardians at the gate? Because that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I couldn't find any evidence of that. And we're not told anything else that would help us identify who this examiner is, other than she is a woman at a gate asking a question about learning, loyalty, and values. When you ask someone, "Do you know Jesus?" that's what you're asking them about: their learning, their loyalty, and their values. So I want to suggest that she is wisdom again. Again, Lady Wisdom, who was in Proverbs at the gate, again, Lady Wisdom stands on this threshold between insight and ignorance, understanding and witlessness. Again, Lady Wisdom, companion of God, emissary of the divine, embodiment of sacred teaching, says to someone, "Are you not also a disciple of him?" But she's not just asking, "Oh, do you know Jesus?" She's saying, "Have you learned, have you received his teachings for daily righteousness? Peter, oh Peter, have you held the hand of Jesus? Peter, have you turned your face toward love? Peter, have you committed yourself to the work of God's justice?" No, it seems. Peter has not yet. That will take one more woman at a gate. Very few people stay by Jesus' side during his sham trial and his very real execution. All of the named male disciples in John's account abandon him. His mom, Mary, stays with him, and so does Mary Magdalene. After Jesus is dead and after he's buried, it's Mary Magdalene who goes to tend to his tomb. Mary Magdalene is the only one brave enough to go to this final resting place of someone who has been executed to make a political point. And when she gets there, the stone has been moved out of the way. Mary Magdalene is the first to learn that the tomb isn't a dead end, but it is a gateway to impossible life. Because Mary not only learned the teachings of Jesus, but so treasured them while he was alive, she is the first. She is the first, and in John's account, she is alone in this. She is the first to receive the wisdom beyond Jesus' death. And so she runs. And so she runs to Peter. She runs, crying out like Lady Wisdom again, to be heard. And finally, Peter does. And Jesus must have too, sometime long before. John says, the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Other parts of the Bible put Lady Wisdom in the beginning as well. When the high priests are trying to entrap Jesus, when they're trying to trick him, his response is, I haven't hidden anything from you or from any human authority. You and your Roman overlords could have come to hear me preach, along with the countless disenfranchised, stateless people that you're supposed to be protecting. I have said nothing in secret. Go talk to them. Go talk to the multitudes who felt hope and shared their resources because of my witness to the ever-loving God of covenant. Lady Wisdom can't protect Jesus from the death that follows, his unwillingness to compromise who he is and who he stands for, but she stands with him. She is with him in that uncompromising stance that still compels us to this day. So we can be like Peter and we can deny Jesus when acknowledging Jesus feels awkward or embarrassing or even dangerous. We can do that. But doing so isn't going to close the tomb back up. Denying him isn't going to help us avoid the gateways along our journey in life, because she's still there. Because Lady Wisdom is still there. She's still there crying out to help protect us and guide us through our days. Not so much that we will be protected from strife or even from death, but to teach us how to, like Jesus, safeguard the integrity of our souls. So that when we are chastised, when we are judged for our work to care for the stateless, the disenfranchised, the female, the queer, the trans, the hungry, the African American, the disabled, the foreign-born, the Muslim. When we are chastised for those things, we will stand without shame, without fear, and without doubt that we do all of those things in the service of the righteous God. Amen.